what a blessing it is to, and I fear often we take it for granted, but what a blessing it is to have a place to gather together, to worship, to have a faithful man to stand and week after week proclaim the gospel of God's grace. I'd ask you to open your Bible to Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 9. When I come out to California, I often think my grandpa was out here somewhere. I think maybe closer to San Francisco 80 years ago. During World War II, he come out in the Navy and served. And there was a point when, shortly before he passed away, we were taking turns staying with him and my grandma. And one night, I started looking through his Bible. Just found that interesting. And in that whole book, from Genesis to Revelation, there wasn't one mark on, not a note, not a mark on any scripture, with the exception of Psalm 111, verse 9. Let me read it. It says, "He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." He. Think what where we begin with that verse. He. That's Almighty God. He. You know, all things begin with God. All the way back in creation, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, what? In the beginning, who? God. God created the heavens and the earth. Just listen to a few of these scriptures. Scripture says this: all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things are of God. That doesn't say some things, does it? It doesn't even say most things. All things are of God. In Colossians 1:16, by him were all things created. We often refer to this book as a hymn book. And there's a reason for that. It's all about him. It's written by him. It's declared by him. It reveals him. He is revealed in his word. It's all about him. And our text begins with he. He. Let's go back to the verse 1. I just want us to go through this passage here this morning. Look, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly." That means sitting together. Sitting together, talking with friends in the assembly. I'll praise him with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. That appointed meeting, just as we've gathered here this morning. I will praise him. Praise ye the Lord. And if you have a margin in your Bible, you'll see that another way to say that is hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him who is worthy of praise. He's worthy of all praise. David said this, "I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever." You know, I know that we have let organized religion rob us of this word. Hallelujah. I'm almost afraid to say it sometimes, just for being taken as those who just use it in such a trivial manner. You know, I remember working with a guy that coffee was made on time one morning, and he shouted hallelujah. I enjoy a good cup of coffee as much as anybody else, but listen, that's not how we use that word. Is we use it to praise Him who's worthy of all praise. Not in a flippant use, no, but in truth and in sincerity. May God give us a true heart to indeed praise Him who is worthy of all praise. Him who liveth forever and ever. Well, let's read on here. Verse 1, we see He who is worthy of praise. Verse 2, He whose works are great. All the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Consider His works. His works in creation. Look back at Psalm 19, verse 1. Just turn back a few pages. Psalm 19 and verse 1. Here we read, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. It's such a beautiful creation. We rarely take time to truly behold it, but think about all that the Lord hath created. We were flying out here this week, and just up in that plane, and from a far distance, just looking down at the clouds and the sky and the land beneath. Isn't this a beautiful creation that God has created and given us to enjoy? The God who in creation commanded light to shine out of darkness. This world was nothing but darkness. And God spoke and He said, let there be light. And we know what happened then. There was light. Ah, His work in creation. His works in providence. He's sovereign in creation. He's sovereign in providence. Romans 8:28. We were talking about this yesterday. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And it says He worketh all things. That's what Scripture says. Not just some things, not just a few things. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Many times, and I trust you do the same. I doubt I'm alone in this. Many times I ask, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Huh? You know, whether we understand it or not, we know. We know all things work together for good. It's just what He does is just. What He does is right. And it's for His glory and the eternal good of His people. Noah saw the world destroyed. Yet God was pleased to save him and his family. Job lost his children. He lost all of his possessions. And yet, at the end of Job, he says this, I know that Thou canst do everything. No thought can be hidden from Thee. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac, just as God had commanded him. I don't understand that. There's an account there in John where there was a woman taken in the very act of adultery. That's what Scripture says. And the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were worshiping just like we are here this morning. Imagine that. Imagine if a group of fellas drug in a woman and threw her down on the floor here and said she was taken in the very act of adultery. How would we react to that? How would we respond to that? They said, the law says, stone her. It did. It said stone her and it said stone the man. He was nowhere to be seen in that, but the law says that. What did our Lord say? Didn't say nothing at first, did He? wrote on the ground. They continued talking and asking, what do you do? What do we do? I can't imagine the fear that went through this woman as she's being drugged from wherever before the Lord by these men, and the whole time saying, the law says stone her. And our Lord looked at them and he said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And what happened? They all walked out from the oldest to the youngest. And then he looked at her. He looked at her in mercy. And he said, where are those thine accusers? They were gone, weren't they? And the judge of the earth, Almighty God who sees all things, stands before her. Shall not the king of the earth do right? And he said what? Neither do I condemn thee. Oh, what joy filled her soul. Go and sin no more. I don't understand that. We'd look at that and say, what good? But you know what? Those scribes and Pharisees, they learned something that day, didn't they? And that woman was shown mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ showed her mercy. God had told Abraham, even though he said sacrifice him, he told Abraham, Isaac, thy seed shall be called. And Abraham, this is what Abraham was said of him, Abraham believed God. God's sovereign. He does as he will, when he will, with whom he will. In Nehemiah, just a few books over from Job, listen to the words of Nehemiah. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, and thou preservest them all. He preserves the heavens. He preserves their host. He preserves the earth. Huh? People run around. What are we going to do about this? The Lord preserves the earth. You saw those trees out there a few days ago out in California. Said they're 2,000 years old. They're still standing, aren't they? Huh? He preserves them all. And the host of heaven worshipeth thee. We're to worship him. He does according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He's sovereign. He's almighty. And then verse 3, we read here again in Psalm 111. We still read of he. We read of verse 2, we read of his works. But here in verse 3, we read of his work. His work, that's singular, isn't it? It says it's honorable, it's glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. His work. In John 17, verse 4, I won't have you turn there, but he said this, speaking to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have glorified thee on earth. And then he said this, I have finished the work. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. What was that work? What was that thing that he accomplished? The salvation of his people. His death on the cross. The work of salvation. Mike, that's not your work, is it? It's not my work. Whose work is it? It's his work. He accomplished salvation. That's what he said on the cross. He said, it is finished. There's nothing left. Something's finished. There's nothing left to do, is there? He finished it. Philippians 1:6, Paul writing to the Philippians, he said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will do what? Will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. His work. His work is honorable. Huh? His righteousness, his salvation. What's he saying? It endureth forever. It's an eternal salvation. If God saves a man, he is saved eternally. Eternal salvation. It endureth forever. An everlasting, eternal, effectual salvation. Isaiah 45, verse 7. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting, everlasting salvation. Back to Psalm 111. Look at verse 4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's gracious. That's how he saves. He saves by his grace. Verse 5, he hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will be ever mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. Consider the children of Israel. Consider what they saw with regard to God's power, his deliverance. He said this of Pharaoh in Exodus 9:16. He said, "For Pharaoh, this is the only reason I raised you up, Pharaoh. For this reason have I raised thee up, to show in thee my power. My power. And that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." Think about just a few of those things. Remember that? He turned water into blood. He sent those frogs. He sent lice and he sent flies and the murrain of cattle, that disease that fell on them. Boils. Hail that destroyed everything. He sent locusts. He sent darkness. Darkness that could be felt, but not to his children. He preserved them. He kept them. And finally, that death of the firstborn. They woke up that morning and there was a cry that went out like it, no doubt, had never went out before. But not in Goshen. Not for those who were under the blood. Can you imagine how they rejoiced when they went out that day before and they slayed that lamb and they put that blood out there on the door. And I know they went to bed that night. I wonder if they got up during the night just to ever so many minutes to go in and just check on the firstborn. They woke up that next morning and they were all safe. Huh? How? Under the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass. I'll leap over you. And though the children of Israel continually doubted him and murmured and complained, he delivered them. He delivered the children of Israel. Let's go on here. Verse 7. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Verity and judgment. Truth and justice. All his ways. He's faithful. He is faithful to his people. All his commandments. All his commandments are sure. Paul, writing to Timothy, he said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Huh? All that he has appointed, all that he has decreed, shall stand. Huh? His purpose shall stand eternally. Verse 8, they stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. Verse 9. This is where I've been wanting to get to. Verse 9. Four points here. The first is this. He sent redemption. You see that? He sent redemption. He didn't just send one to deliver. He sent the deliverer. He didn't just send a redeemer. He sent full redemption to His people. In Luke 1:68, Scripture declares this, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and He hath redeemed His people." Not He's trying to. Not He wants to. He hath redeemed His people. False religion would try to convince us that he tried to redeem, or that He would maybe help to redeem, maybe even make a down payment. I think about that. I believed that at one time. How silly is that? A down payment? God who created all things. How could He ever be dependent on me for anything? Even if I had the opportunity to pay the balance, where would I get it from? Our best works are filthy rags in His sight. Scripture says this, we've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God's Word declares an accomplished, effectual, complete redemption. Huh? Redeemed from sin, redeemed from Satan, redeemed from the law. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The payment. What I hear mention of wages in God's Word. The wages of sin is death. The sentence of death and condemnation was upon us. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us. He paid. He paid the redemption price in full. How? With His own blood. He did it. He bore the wrath of His Father. There as He hung on the tree, God poured out His wrath upon His Son. Why? For sins He had committed? No. For the sins of His people. He paid the sin debt. He paid the purchase price. He bore the wrath of Almighty God in His body as He hung there on that tree. He drank damnation dry. Not a drop left. Nothing left. Had to be that way. We couldn't pay it. We could not pay it. He paid it in full. He drank it all. He endured it all. He suffered it all. And every bit of that is what we, His people, should have suffered. What's the result? What's the grand and glorious result of it? His people go free. Go free. Peter, 1 Peter 1, he said you weren't redeemed with corruptible things. Huh? That's what the religion of this world pushes. Huh? Now don't get me wrong. To have a faithful pastor and a place to worship, we should give. We should give of ourselves, and we should give to support the ministry. There's nothing greater that we can do than to support the preaching of God's Word. But we weren't saved by building buildings, by building gyms or donating to this or donating to that. Gold and silver is valuable, but it'll never pay the redemption price. Oh, it's much, much higher. He said you weren't redeemed from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Not by a religious show. Not by an outward appearance of self-righteousness. No. No. But men do put on a good show, don't we? I mean, we can all dress up and we can look nice, can't we? We're not saved by doing this and doing that. Remember David when he had that sin with Bathsheba? And God sent Nathan the prophet and told him that story about that man who had all these lambs, this rich man. He took the poor man's lamb and he slain it and he gave it to the wealthy visitor. And David was furious. Where is he? Nathan looked at him. He said, "That's you. Thou art the man." Oh. Well, you know, David wasn't. David was relieved when he heard this, though, wasn't he? Huh? Thy sin. That's you, David. But thy sin hath been put away. Oh, by the deeds of the law. All have sinned, right? That's what Scripture says. All have sinned and come short. By the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. Might be justified before men, but that don't really mean much, does it? And they're going to be justified in his sight. But we, the believer, is justified by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. The redemption price, we read in our text, he sent redemption to his people. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot or blemish. That blood shed at Calvary. That blood revealed throughout the Scriptures. You know, when Adam sinned, what did God do? He slew an animal and he made coats to cover them. That high priest, he went into the Holy of Holies. How? With blood. He'd slay a lamb. The Passover lamb, what happened? That blood was shed and put upon the outside of the door there. All these things pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only His precious blood. Not by the blood of animals. Not by my blood, but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sin-atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that we'll do. His redemption. We read of His people. Who did He do this for? The redemption that God sent, it's for His people. That's clear in the Scriptures. We just look at Psalm 119:9. He sent redemption to who? Unto His people. Who are His people? Well, it's a peculiar people. That's what Scripture says. It's a particular people. It's a nation, a kindred, a people. Over in Revelation 5:9, we read, "Thou hast redeemed us to God out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue." His people, His flock, His sheep. It's a people for which He died and for whom He saved. Matthew 1:21 says this, "Thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he," what? "Shall." Not wants to, not has tried to, not will if you let him. "He shall save his people from their sin." His people, His sheep. Our Lord said, "I lay down my life for who?" For the sheep. With the sheep. A people, we're a purchased people. Purchased with His own blood. "Keep watch over yourselves and the flock which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which is bought with His own blood." A people His from all eternity. He chose us. That's Scripture says it. He chose us in Christ from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. His people by choice. Do you hear that? His choice. John 15:16, our Lord said this, "You have not chosen me." No. "But I have chosen you." Listen to the words of this hymn. "'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be." Huh? "This heart would still refuse thee, hadst thou not done what? Chosen me." We were a people going astray. We've turned each of us, how? To his own way. "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." How far had we gone? How far had we strayed? Scripture said we wandered far. We wandered far from the fold. Scriptures declare this, we were dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. Yet listen, we're a kept people. How? How are we kept? How can someone so prone to wander, so prone to leave the God of life, how is that we're kept? Kept by the power of God. A redeemed people. We just read that. He sent redemption. Who did? Now, if I send something, it may get there and it may not. But my friends, if He sent redemption to His people, rest assured, He's going to redeem them. His people shall be redeemed. He loved us. He loved us and gave Himself for us. A people called by the Spirit of God. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." He speaks through us through His Word. Speaks to us through the power of His Spirit. A people known by name. He calls them by name. His church, His bride, His people. Think about it. He knows our name. Remember that he looked at Zacchaeus, climbed up that tree. What did our Lord do? He said He came to the place and He looked up and He said, "Hey, you." No, He said, "Zacchaeus, come down." He knew his name, didn't he? That's Brady. How do I know him? He's mine. I call him by name. Zacchaeus, come down. How about this? Lazarus. Lazarus lay there in the grave. What did he say? "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. He caught Saul there on the road to Damascus. What did he say? "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" A people eternally His. Our Lord said, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." His redemption, His people. The Word speaks also of His covenant. He hath commanded His covenant forever. What is that? His promise. His covenant of grace. David wrote there in 2 Samuel. He said, "Although my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, an eternal covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although He make it not to grow." An eternal covenant made with Christ from the beginning. Our surety, our sanctification. He's the mediator of a better covenant. All those given Him by the Father. Our Lord said this, "All that the Father hath given me shall" what? "Shall come to me. And him that cometh to me." Rest assured, if you come to Christ, it's because He drew you. And rest assured, if you come to Christ, He'll receive you. That's what it said. "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." All that He chose, all that he purchased, all that the Spirit of God calls to himself, his covenant shall stand forever. And then fourth, I got to finish. His name. Look at Psalm 111, verse 9. Holy and reverend is his name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What else does Scripture say about his name? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. There's no doubt, there's no question in that, is there? Shall be saved. That name which is above every name. That name in which every knee is going to bow. That name which every man is going to confess. Huh? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Ethiopian eunuch, he'd been to whatever that religious meeting was. He was coming back from Jerusalem, sitting in a chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Huh? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, what humiliation? The humiliation of being made sin. The humiliation of being hung on the cross, of being separated from the Father. The humiliation of bearing the sins of his people. Huh? His judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. When sin was found on the Lord Jesus Christ, God slew him. Sin must be punished. And the eunuch asked Philip, he said, is this man talking about himself or somebody else here? What's Scripture say? Philip began at that same verse of Scripture. And what'd he do? He preached Christ. He preached the Lord Jesus Christ to him. And at some point that eunuch, he stopped the chariot. He said, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? What was Philip's question? Can you repeat everything I've said to you? Can you recite these things? Can you say the sinner's prayer? What'd he say? Do you believe? Do you believe? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The one. This eunuch here, he was one for whom redemption was sin. He was one of God's people. He was one of his elect, one of his children. He was one resting in that covenant, that eternal covenant. And he's one who called upon his name. Let me ask you, who gets the glory in that? Huh? God. To God be the glory. Verse 10, and I'll finish here. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise. Who gets the glory? His praise endureth forever. His praise. And you know what? We could just go from there and we could go back to verse 1, couldn't we? Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. All right.